And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. You're very welcome along to the 9 to noon show for this Wednesday, the 19th of June. And finally, we have a day that feels a little bit like summer across the northwest of Ireland. So hopefully, maybe you've got a bit of time to get out and enjoy it. We are going business as usual, of course, and the lines are open for you. You can text or WhatsApp us on 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000. You can send your voice notes to that number as well on WhatsApp, or if you want to give us a call, it's 07491 25000, and for comments via email, it is as simple as comments@highlandradio.com. and of course you can watch the show on Facebook, on Highland Hub on Facebook, Highland News and Sport, and you can watch it on your big screen TV if it's a smart TV, or your Fire Stick on YouTube. Just search Highland Radio Ireland. Right, let's see what's making the front and inside some of the papers today. And the Finn Valley Voices message is simple: keep the race in its place. The Donegal Road Safety Working Group and An Garda Síochána have issued a road safety appeal to everyone attending the Donegal International Rally this weekend. The three-day event starts on Friday, the 21st of June, and is expected to attract thousands of spectators, providing a fantastic opportunity for Donegal to showcase its attractions. On to the Nationals now, and it feels a little bit like old news, but all the front pages focus on Eamon Ryan's decision to step away from the Green Party, and it seems elected politics as a whole. Candidates for the leadership of the Green Party are expected to declare their interest and begin campaigning this morning following the shock resignation of party leader Eamon Ryan yesterday. This is the Irish Times. Deputy leader Catherine Martin said yesterday evening that she would not be a candidate, opening the field to contenders likely to include Minister for Integration Roderick O'Gorman and Super Junior Minister and Senator Pippa Hackett, with Mr. O'Gorman considered by some colleagues the front runner. Senior party sources said any potential candidates would not declare last night out of respect for Mr. Ryan, but added they fully expect a contest for the position. So Pippa Hackett is being backed there by her colleague Catherine Martin. I think Senator Pauline O'Reilly is also backing Pippa Hackett. She was mentioned yesterday as a potential new leader. Anyone who's a member of the Green Party can actually contest the leadership. You just need 50 Green Party signatures. Senior party sources said any potential candidates would not declare last night. I just read that. The Green Party's executive committee met last night to discuss the leadership contest, with party members expecting a short nomination period and a contest of 3 weeks, during which there would be hustings events, perhaps online, as in the 2020 leadership race. And, you know, fair play to anyone who would step up to be the leader of the Green Party. It's not a popular position at the moment. I think, you know, the other parties are going to start hanging a lot of the problems on the Greens now as we head into election mode. It'll be a tough old time to be the Green Party leader, especially considering that they've lost so much representation. 20 plus councillors, is it two MEPs? And we haven't even got to the general election yet. In the Irish Independent, there's a story here about cancer patients hit with excess parking fees. And if you have anything to comment on this, I'd be very interested in what you have to say, of course. Vulnerable cancer patients are being hit with excessive car parking fees in several hospitals, which are still not offering a discount. The Irish Cancer Society, in its pre-budget submission, said cancer patients in some parts of the country have free parking and other hospitals offer concessions, but many are being hit with charges of £3.20 an hour or more. The charity warns of a €180 million hole in national cancer funding across the care system, which means patients are not being given the chance of a best outcome. However, they can also face a financial toll due to hidden costs, including hospital car parking fees, and many people unable to work. They could be the principal breadwinner in the house. It's a very, very expensive process to go through for many people. Letterkenny University Hospital isn't mentioned. I think they do have a system in place. I'm open to correction on that. But another hospital that we attend quite regularly is Galway University Hospital. Full fees are charged in Galway University Hospital, as well as Port Laoise Hospital, Our Lady of Lourdes Hospital in Drogheda, University Hospital Waterford, and Mullingar Hospital in County Westmeath. So, as I say, it does feel unfair. It is clearly unfair. But if that's something that you've been impacted by, please let us know 086 60 25,000. The Irish Daily Mail this morning, if you are planning a flight in the next wee while, and it is with Aer Lingus, this will be of interest to you. The worst fears of holidaymakers were realised yesterday as Aer Lingus pilots announced plans to take industrial action next week. The Irish Airlines Pilot Association informed the airline it will begin an indefinite work to rule starting Wednesday. Aer Lingus has warned passengers that a significant level of disruption is now inevitable. Members of IALPA, which represents hundreds of pilots at Aer Lingus, earlier this week voted 99% in favour of taking industrial action in an ongoing dispute over pay. The work to rule action means pilots will not work overtime, only fly on published rosters, and will not answer calls outside of work hours. It's estimated that up to 40,000 passengers per day could be impacted, costing Aer Lingus between 20 and 25 million euro a day. So I'm gutted if that does affect or may affect any of you out there, especially if it's a family holiday that you've been planning for a while and so on. On to the Irish Daily Star, and maggots and worms were found in food served at accommodation for Ukrainian refugees, while others reported undercooked or rotten food, a study shows. 1,000 Ukrainian refugees living in temporary state accommodation were surveyed by migrant rights organisation Duras. One third reported that the quality of their housing is very poor or poorer. Undercooked or rotten food was reported in two centres, while worms and maggots in food were reported in one. In three centres, cases of food poisoning were highlighted. In six centres, respondents said they were mice or rats present. 60% of those surveyed said the quality of meals in the centres are very poor or poor. One refugee surveyed said, "I'm very sick," while another reported complete unsanitary conditions. Doris CEO John Lannan said the organisation is asking the Department of Children and Integration to urgently take action over the complaints there. Okay. On to the Irish Daily Mirror now. And criminals and people who have fraudulently obtained a citizen's certificate in Ireland could have them revoked. New legislation that will allow for Irish citizens to be stripped of their citizenship will be enacted before the Dáil's summer break. Justice Minister Helen McEntee said, or told the Cabinet yesterday, the law would only be used in limited circumstances. This would include if a person has fraudulently gained a citizenship cert, or if a person is a credible threat to the state. The proposed law is part of a list of new immigration measures, including opting into the EU Migration and Asylum Pact, which of course has proved controversial. That's being brought forward by government to tighten border security, we're told. I'm really not quite sure why that pact is needed to, firstly, speed up processing, secondly, establish centres, or thirdly, tighten up the borders. I don't see how signing into this pact does those things. I'm not saying I'm anti the pact. I don't really know enough about it, really, because there's so much information out there, but a lot of the stuff that is promised through the pact we could or definitely should have been doing already. And only 5 hours was allowed to debate this pact as well. Speaking in the Dáil, Minister McEntee said Ireland cannot deal with the issue of migration by ourselves, adding, "It's only by standing together as members of the European Union that we can deal with this global issue." The proposed measures include rapid processing of people who arrive without documentation from safe countries and increased deportation of those who are refused protection. And as part of it, and you can tell we're very much in election mode, flights will be chartered to deport people who refuse protection. It's not a new practice, but I think tenders went out there this week for people to provide that service. That's what they're saying anyway. And finally, there's another Derry girl on the scene, and many of you will be going down to see her in a week and a half. Ireland can celebrate a second famous Swift after singer Taylor's roots were tracked back to Derry, no less. Gulliver's Travels author Jonathan Swift, who died in 1745, aged 77, is remembered as one of the country's best satirists. Now, global superstar Tay-Tay, Taylor Swift's secret Irish roots have been revealed in a tale romantic enough to be an echo of her hit Love Story. With Taylor preparing to dazzle Irish fans with gigs in Dublin's Aviva Stadium next week on the 28th, 29th and 30th of June, experts have traced her family line back to Susan Davis and Francis Gwynn. On Saturday, June 11th, 1836, the 21-year-old set for her 21-year-old set her foe to America from Derry. Ah, okay, I get you. So it was one of her ancestors that moved to Derry back in 1836. So apparently you can trace Taylor Swift back to Derry. How's about that? Now, if you are a farmer and you have a quad, you are expected to complete a quad safety training course. Many of you have, but still some haven't. And the IFA are holding an online information webinar on quad safety training. This with a view to encourage those that haven't completed the quad safety training course to do so. And this online course takes place next Tuesday at 8 p.m. We're joined on the programme by Joe Sweeney, Chair of the IFA in Donegal. Joe, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Thank you so much for joining us. Have we any idea what the uptake is in terms of, you know, farmers and others completing the quad safety training course? Because there was an awful lot of publicity and press about it, and I just wonder what's happened since that tailed off a bit.
Well, since the law was introduced on the 20th of November last year, there was very little talk about it. It sort of crept up without little talk about it. Then it just became law sort of overnight. There was a bit of flurry there before Christmas getting training done. The numbers are still pretty low. It's not, there's just not enough numbers in it. But with farming, the spring came and everything died a death. Calving started, lambing started, crops, fields, silage. So probably now is the time to look at it again from now to towards the end of the year to get that training done. And that's why they're looking to do this webinar, to sort of to get the troops rounded up and get going again, because it's all sort of forgot about at the minute.
In relation to the new legislation, it's not even if you don't take the vehicle out onto the road, even if you use it on your own property, which is your workplace, you do have to conform to these workplace laws.
Yeah, well, you see, it's all to do with safety, because probably over the last recent number of years, quads have become more common. The word is common on farms, and even non-farmers have quads now, actually. But the word is as common now. There's sort of one around most houses, and some lads maybe two. But it's the way the quads are being driven. Like, they're not, it's not like a car, or it's not like a tractor. There's a total different way of driving, and that's what people don't grasp. They've changed now. They've put attachments onto quads. You can put on fertilizer spreaders, you can put on rollers, you can put on toppers, sprayers, and it's the balance of the weight. So what happens is, when you're driving that quad, you have to move your body in the position of the quad. So for example, if you're on a slope going downhill, you move your body back to the back of it. If you're going uphill, it's to the far, it's going to the front, or sideways, you go to the opposite side. But people don't realize that, and that's where a lot of the problems are. And because of the makeup of it, they're so easily overturned and there's no protection. Yeah. So it's just to make people aware of that.
It's often not the fall from the quad, it's the quad going over on top of the driver that's often the issue, especially if there's a trailer or other equipment attached to it. And the wearing of helmet too, you know, a lot of people might say it's restrictive, or they can't hear properly, or they can't see around them properly or whatever, but it is the law. You have to have a helmet, and it's supposed to be on, and it's there for another reason. It's to protect your head in case you fall off, smack your head, or indeed if the quad rolls over on top of you.
Yeah, it's the head is the problem, because you can do a lot with a broken leg or a broken arm, but if you get a head injury, it's a totally different thing. Now, I would work in with a lot of the schools, certainly around Inishowen, through the IDP in Inishowen, and I would tell all the kids, we're doing an agri schools program there, and it would be protect the head and wear the helmets. Should it be bikes, should it be even the small quads around the house, whatever, it's the helmet is the one. And it's the same way with farmers. I know we can make excuses, but like, safety is the one. And if you have a farm accident, it's not necessarily the farmer that has the accident, but it's someone else in the family that has to run that farm while he recuperates. So it has a big impact on more than just the farmer if there's an accident. So the helmet, yeah.
All right, so you're running this online course, the IFA's, I should say, with a view, I suppose, to getting as many on the Weapon RS is possible, and that would be the kick-on for them to take the small bit of time out of their busy schedule. Well, you know how busy it is at the moment for farmers, but to get this done. Because firstly, obviously it's for safety, but if there's an inspection and you have to go through all that stuff as well, isn't it better just to have all the boxes ticked?
Yeah, because it will happen that when you get the inspection and there's a quad there, it's like a number of years ago we had the sprayers and you had to do a safe use of pesticide course. It's the same way with the quad. If there's a quad there, there'll be a box and have you the course done and you'll have to tick it. So it's all right, you can keep putting it off, but you're better to go and just bite the bullet and go and do the course.
Register now for this webinar next Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. ifa.ie/quad training, and this will ensure you're fully informed and ready to minimise risk on the farm. Just a word with you on the nature restoration law, if that's all right, Joe, because up until now, you know, we've had those who were in favour of it going through the document and picking out the best of what it could mean for Irish farmers. And then you've got those who are anti-EU and anti this law. They're picking through it and they're talking about us grazing bison in Donegal and all that kind of stuff. Now, I'm not saying that's not within there, don't get me wrong. But do we know yet actually what the implications of the nature restoration law are on, I suppose, Donegal and farming more generally?
Well, to be honest, Greg, no, not really. We have small amounts of it. But it's like a lot of things, they've passed this law now. The sort of the carcass is there. They have to put the meat on the bones, and that's probably where the horse trading will take place. I know that they're looking at reversing the loss of biodiversity and to restore nature. But if you look at the whole west coast of Ireland in the last number of years, you can see trees, bushes starting to grow. There's actually no one bothering with them. There's no control. They're looking at rhododendrons now. They're looking to control that because it's a bit like the Chinese knotweed. It's getting out of control, so it needs to be controlled. But for the whole West, I don't think it's going to have the biggest impact that they're talking about. Probably the East and the South, it probably will have, where farming is more intensive. Now they're talking about re-wetting some of the mossland or the peatland that was drained at the time, but they're talking about that they're going to do it on state-owned land, and that'll probably start with sort of some of the bogs and stuff where they stop cutting turf on the Midlands.
But the concern is if you start re-wetting that type of lands, and again, where are we talking about? Could it be Donegal? I don't know. They say 9% of land will be impacted by this. Obviously, you re-wet a section of land, you know, you're not building a dam around that land either. The concern is the consequences it could have for the land around it. I mean, my concern with all of this is, you know, if you go back 50, 60 years, we had a specific department that dealt with our waterways, and it coordinated everything, drainage, all that type of stuff. That's all gone now. We're not really doing that, looking after our waterways and what have you, or working in a coordinated fashion. And then now we're sort of talking about re-wetting and how... I don't have any faith that we can deal with that successfully, unfortunately. I hope to be proven wrong.
Well, just I'm on you with that because I don't think it can be done either, because even taking a plot of land somewhere and it's they said it's voluntary and you're a farmer and you're going to sort of leave that land to be wetted, but that's going to have an impact on the neighbour surrounding it because his land's going to flood then if yours is blocked up or whatever. So I don't know. It's going to be very, very tricky how that's going to work. And that's where it's going to take a lot of knowledge and a lot of thinking to plan that out before they talk about re-wetting. It's just not as simple as it's easy saying the word re-wetting, but it's not.
Sounds great, doesn't it? But what's the reality? Will the IFA be consulted in that process, I wonder?
We would like to think we would, because you know, sometimes a lot of these things are taken at a level where you have people that might just not know exactly what was on the ground. So it's good to have more people. All the farm orgs, better to have them at the table and sort of try and work out a plan rather than someone taking in a law and then not understanding what the implications are on us taking them.
All right, listen, thanks so much for joining us. And that's a story we'll talk about many times into the future. Thank you very much indeed. That is Joe Sweeney, who is chair of the IFA in Donegal. 086 60 25,000. Nicola says, my daughter is 15. Is she too young for quad training? To do the course, she's going to have to wait another year. In terms of getting advice on quad safety, I'd sign up as a webinar and sit in beside her for next Tuesday. It's good information, but the actual course itself, candidates have to be over 16. A caller says, why don't the quads have safety bars to stop them tipping over? If they did something that could move on and off like old tractors from years ago. I know a person who got tipped off a quad, and that was over a year, and he's still not right. Another farmer I know was killed off one. Yeah, that's really why we talk about it, because it is, they can be dangerous. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text, or give us a call on 0749 125,000. We were in the beautiful Shandon Hotel last evening. The Irish Hotels Federation had an event where the baton, I suppose, was formally handed over from Paul Diver from the Sandhouse, isn't it, down in Rosnara, who's been a regular guest on this show, highlighting the issues facing that industry. And that baton was held handed over to a very impressive young lady. And Aisling Arnott, and I'm sure we'll be speaking to her into the future, and got chatting to some lovely people there, actually. And people are so nice and have such nice things to say. Aisling Arnold, of course. Did I say Arnott? And have such nice things to say about the show and the radio station. I really do appreciate that. And we were treated really, really well. It was lovely. And if I sound croaky, it's probably to do with Coca-Cola or 7-Up or something along those lines. Okay, we'll be back with more on the 9 till noon show very shortly. Donna McGee is an addiction services lead with the HSC and is with me in the studio. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Greg. How
thank
are you?
Thank you so much for joining us, and I'm feeling great, thank you. Now, the Northwest Regional Drug and Alcohol Task Force have launched a new campaign to prevent drug misuse in a particular area for this campaign. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I suppose what it's featured on is the booklet that they've launched is called The Smart Method. I brought a copy of it with me today.
Yeah.
So it's basically in relation to the issue they looked at was young people being under a lot of pressure with shows like, say, Love Island and Geordie Shore and everything to have the perfect body image. So what they looked at is developing a resource. Now, I suppose this was the task force has two subgroups, and one looks at treatment and rehab and one looks at prevention and education. So the prevention and education looked at how young people aged 16 plus who are going to the gym would be able to work out and build muscle safely without the use of, say, illegal steroids, because there is such pressure for people to have the perfect image. So they developed this resource so that people would be able to learn, firstly, how the importance of nutrition and strength training, and be able to learn how to put on muscle safely, and also learn about the long-term risks and the short-term risks of if you're in the gym and somebody says to you, try these steroids, or PEDS we call them, which is performance image enhancing drugs. And I suppose the important thing for people to know is that they're illegal. There is side effects and consequences of them. They're very rarely prescribed, and most young people who are getting them aren't getting them on prescription. Mm. They're buying them illegally. We don't know what's in them, and there can be very long-term consequences for this. So,
how broadly do you think PEDS are used?
Well, I suppose we know it's with young people at the minute. We do know that there is an issue with it. It's prevalent everywhere.
Yeah.
So I suppose we wouldn't know exactly how much it is, but we do know that it is an issue at the moment. Mm. So that's why we want to bring out this information. So we partnered with a local gym, and the gym that we partnered with is very interested in kind of, it's called BMS, Body, Mind and Soul, because we know exercise is a great thing for young people. So it's making sure that people do it safely. So what we did was we developed this resource. We also developed a YouTube video which depicts a number of different types of body image so that there isn't one size fits all. Mm-hmm. And in conjunction with that, we have an education and training coordinator with the task force who's available. She's developed a comprehensive training program, so she's available to go out to any group or work with any organisation who are interested in that. And because it's funded by the Drugs Task Force, that would be free of charge.
I had a glance through the booklet. and it's not sort of trying to scare anyone, or I didn't even see in my brief look through it a reference to PEDS and stuff. Mm. It's more a handy booklet as how you can maybe get the body that you want or what have you, doing it the right way, eating
yes.
correctly,
yeah.
you know, exercising properly, all that type of stuff. So rather than really sort of give out, it's more of giving an alternative, you know, more positive information.
Absolutely. And we know young people will make their own choices. It's just making sure that young people make informed choices. And we do know that there's a lot of pressure on young people at the minute. Drugs and alcohol is a big issue for society at the minute. So we're trying to create a response to that, that people can feel that we're working with them and they're not being lectured to.
And as well, too, though, what we have to sort of counteract, isn't it, is people want fast results, you know, and they're being promised that. And they want shortcuts because they're being promised that. Do you know what I mean? Or they want to be bigger than they might be doing it the traditional way, and that's what they want. So it's going to be a tough. Mm. It's going to be tough to sort of counter that, isn't it? Mm-hmm. In this sort of everything's so fast nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now these PEDS, as you called them, don't necessarily provide that, but they're being promised that.
And the thing is, if you buy something illegally online, Greg, or somebody gives it to you, you don't know what you're buying and you don't know the long-term consequences. Also, it's illegal, so it could be punishable if you're caught with it or caught distributing it, to a 2,000 euro fine or going to prison as well. So I suppose it's the long-term consequences we just want to highlight and make people aware of.
I kind of see this in the same space as the slimming injections. Do you know what I mean? People are struggling. People want them. Mm. They can't get them, and they're prepared to take the risk online. And it's a huge risk. So if you've got someone who's prepared to engage in an illegal business and supply you these products illegally, how can you trust them that they care that they won't do you more damage than even, you know, properly prescribed drugs? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you have that leap of faith in these people? Of course they're going to water it down or put anything in it because they make more profit, and you are just a commodity. So you talked of short-term, long-term impacts of PED use.
Mm-hmm.
What are they?
So I suppose it's listed on the website and it's all in the booklet, but there's a lot of different short and long-term things. So, I mean, like, it can cause heart problems, liver problems. It can cause strokes. It can cause infertility. And there's lots of other problems. There's also a thing called roid rage that we have seen with young people and people in general who take them, where it can cause mental health issues and things as well. So it is quite serious. And if anyone is interested in it, if they go on to the Northwest website, they can get a copy, we can get training. But also to let people know that between the HSE and the Northwest Task Force, if people do need support around drug or alcohol issues, support is available. Like, our services are very responsive. And even if people wanted to ring and they weren't sure if they had a problem or they had a family member and they were looking for family support, we have all them services as well. And we work with everybody as an individual. Mm-hmm. So, and there's no judgment at all. So I just want people to know that we know.
Yeah, because it's the HSE, you know, people might go, oh, well, they could do this. It's not. You're there to try and help people in a private and judgment-free.
Absolutely. Now, we also fund a number of community and voluntary organisations as well. So if you look on the Northwest Regional Drug and Alcohol Task Force website, there's a number of funded organisations that we fund that you can contact and seek advice as well. So sometimes people think, I don't want to go directly to the HSE. I don't want people to know my business. Or maybe I work within the HSE, or maybe I work So you can go to one of our funded organisations, but like, anyone can go and seek a support. And it is free and confidential as well.
I'm not putting you on the spot, but are we seeing any trends or stuff, generally speaking, I suppose, in terms of what we're seeing with people accessing services?
I suppose what the issues are you talking about, Greg? So like, alcohol would still remain the number one. Alcohol would remain the number one issue. And we see that can have a very detrimental effect on families as well. Cocaine use is very big as well at the moment. Cocaine use is very common. We also see...
Has that moved up, sort of?
Yeah. Yeah, we have seen in the last 5 or 6 years a huge surge and increase in cocaine use. So cocaine use, there's also would be a lot of use of cannabis. People think that there's not this, you know, there's cannabis is okay in a lot of cases, but we see a lot of cannabis use that can be very problematic. Then we'd also see issues with ecstasy, MDMA, ketamine are becoming common at the moment. And then we have would have a group as well that would have issues with opiates such as heroin as well. Now, there also is there's issues at the moment, and there's an alert out at the minute about people who use benzodiazepines, that there's a lot of concern around that at the minute, particularly with festivals like Sea Sessions coming up at the weekend, because there is concerns about bad batches and what they're being mixed with.
And what are those drugs? Use the technical term. Are they like, would they be consumed in tablet form?
Yeah, okay. yeah, that would be tablets. Yeah. So, so that if anyone wants further information on that and the drug alerts, you can go onto the drugs.ie website, which is really comprehensive and has all the information. So, as I say, we're not here to judge, we're here to support. And if anyone needs any information or wants to ask any questions, they can contact. We have addiction services throughout Donegal, both HSE and community and voluntary as well, that are funded by ourselves and then in conjunction with the Northwest Task Force.
And the whole idea of asking people to engage is to get them back to where they want to be.
Absolutely.
And it does work, and it happens, doesn't it? People come and engage with your services and then work through them and go on to get their lives back.
Absolutely. And we've seen that repeatedly. And I mean, I suppose it's important for people to know if there can be a lot of shame attached as well, if people feel, oh, I went before and it didn't work out for me. Yeah. And I don't want to be wasting people's time. You're never wasting people's time. I mean, it's people's lives we're dealing with here. And we are more than happy to support people. We don't mind if we see someone coming back 10, 11 times. Sometimes it takes a while. And we know that a lot of people, there's underlying reasons why people use drugs or alcohol as well. So we aim to use a holistic approach, that we work with the person and treat everybody as an individual and put support in place with them that they're willing to accept and that they're comfortable with as well. So it's always done in conjunction with the client. It's never that we're directing the client or telling them what to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the important part of it. So no, we have seen people doing really, really well. Yeah. And I suppose there's a lot of secrecy and shame attached to it. And that's why we're trying to make sure that everybody knows that none of us know when any of this could come to our own families. There's nothing there's nothing to be embarrassed about. And our aim is to try and work with people and support them.
Yeah, because I'm not sure necessarily the younger people who might be taking some of these drugs might be listening to this show. They might be doing something else, but their parents or grandparents or guardians might have seen a change in behaviour. Or I've spoken to parents that they've had the model child, you know, at 18, 19 year old, and in the space of 4 weeks, the person becomes completely unrecognizable. It's really tough for those around people with an addiction as well.
Mm-hmm. Really, really tough. And a lot of times it takes a long time for it to become known or for the family to kind of talk about it. Or so anyone can ring our services and ask for advice as well, you know. So, like the HSE addiction services, normally a GP referral is the method into the HSE addiction services. But the numbers are readily available if the areas anyone can ring and ask a question and ask for some advice.
Okay, you don't have those numbers on you, because that's not. But I can.
I have the number for the Northwest Task Force. So their number is 071-919-4556. Okay. Now, we have a list of all our funded services and the work that they do on that, and they cover all areas of cover Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim and some of Cavan. And their website is www.nwdrugtaskforce.ie. But also, if you go on to drugs.ie, you'll find all the information for our services.
Okay. So there are supports there. That's the key thing. And just to recap, we initially were talking about a new campaign. Young people, of course, as we know, and not so young people, feel pressured to have that perfect body. As Donna quite rightly said, you switch on, you know, ITV 2, 3, 4, E4, you know, as soon as you get past the sort of the main channels, everything is about people with perfect bodies and all that kind of stuff. And TikTok as well, you go on there and everyone else seems to have, their life seems to be going fantastic. It's not always the reality. But mm-hmm. the point being is that you can go down that route if you want and you can get that perfect body, but please don't use PEDs, performance image enhancing drugs, because of the medium and long-term effects. They are illegal. If you're caught with them, that is a crime. But also, if you order them online, you literally have no idea what you're getting. Mm-hmm. Could be anything.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, exactly.
And it could be doing nothing to enhance anything, but could be having a detrimental impact. Okay. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of guys out there, they don't want to have big muscles and be infertile. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And that's mm-hmm. can mm-hmm. be a consequence of it yeah. as well. And the roid rage thing is a real thing. I think the highest profile case I can recall was a WWE wrestler. He was WWF at that time. Chris Benoit, and you know, he was a hero to everyone, but he took a lot of steroids, and there were tragic consequences for him and his family. Mm-hmm. All right, Donna, listen, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks
for all that. Where can people get a hold of that booklet?
So if you go on to the northwesttaskforce.ie, they can put you and get you some of the booklets sent out to you. And if any organisation wants some training in relation to that, we have an education and training coordinator who actually can give training to any groups around drug and alcohol as well.
And a YouTube video.
YouTube clip as well. So if you go on to the NWDrugTaskForce.ie or call the number I mentioned, which is 071-919-4556, we can get you the resources or get you extra training.
Okay, thanks so very much indeed.
Thanks,
it's been
Greg.
Lovely having you in, Donna. That's Donna McGee, who is Addiction Services Lead with the HSE. Right, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We're joined on the programme now by Keelan. Good morning, Keelan.
Good morning, Greg.
Nice to chat to you. Right, okay, you've obviously the sun is out and the sky is somewhat clear, but not clear enough for you. You've been looking up and you think something is afoot. What's going on?
Oh, I don't know. I just
can't. Kaelin, are you on loudspeaker? I'd love to be able to hear you properly.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's no problem. Say it again. Sorry, Kaelin.
It looks very suspicious to me. Like these trails off these aircraft are never ever disappearing. Like they hang around all day in the sky. And I remember from being young that these exhaust gases were disappeared within 10 seconds. But now they seem to stick around all day, and then. I'm just wondering, is there anything behind it? Because I've seen a lot of theories online that say the skies are being sprayed.
What would be... like the thing that confuses me in relation to this is we don't actually have a ton of sort of air traffic that goes over Donegal. You know, there's a bit, but nothing like you might see in Dublin or Belfast, of course. There are some sort of transatlantic routes that cross over us, but not that many. So would we not expect to see much less of it up here than in other parts of the country if they were spraying the sky, or if they were, they'd want to do it more consistently across the whole country?
Yeah, well, you wouldn't really. How would you know that they're there when you can't see through that level of cloud?
Mm.
You know?
And I know you're asking questions as much as making a statement, but what is the sort of working theory of what is being sprayed if the airlines are in on it, if you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know so much of the airlines or the private companies, but the consensus that they're spraying the clouds, and even it's been admitted in Dubai, sure, they got it drastically wrong. They're flooded.
Yeah.
They're flooded out of it in
That's
Dubai.
Cloud seeding. Yeah.
Cloud seeding, well, something along those lines. I don't know. You tell me. I'm asking you.
Well, you're asking the wrong man, Keelan. But listen, it's open to conversation. Are you seeing patterns in the sky today, or is it over the last couple of days, or is it just now?
Yeah, I just see loads of lines. Like they were never there years ago. It's not as if they're dispersing quickly. The whatever's being put out is spread out, and it spreads out during the day into a massive, massive cloud. Next thing you know, the cloud rolls on. You know, and the day's gone to the dogs.
And so, do you think that maybe it's just it's wet controlling the weather, or do you believe there's something a little bit more?
I do believe that they're trying to control the weather a bit. Yeah.
Okay.
And they're going to use this gaze of climate change, and they end up then they'll use this gaze of climate change trying to cool the planet or some bullshit.
Mm.
Sorry, excuse my language.
That's all right. We'll let you away with the one. Yeah, I mean...
Well, I'm just wondering, has any other listeners seen this? I'm sure they have, but somebody has to be questioning it.
You would see it, surely. I just would see them as exhaust fumes, really. I was chatting to a meteorologist. Who is it works with? A meteorologist. And they say it's to do with high and low pressure. So if there's... I'm not sure if it's low or high pressure, but if there's a high pressure, they tend to hang around more in the sky, and if there's low pressure, they don't tend to hang around. But listen, Keelan, it's your view. Do you believe there's anything damaging to us that's in these chemical trails, or do you believe it's more climate control?
Well, I don't know. Do you tell me what chemicals would be good for any humans?
The only thing is with some of these theories is... That, do you know, like, the world the way it is at the moment, it's an absolute disaster with wars and everyone falling out, and you've got, you know, Putin over in North Korea, and you've got the Chinese, and, you know, you've got the Americans, and that there's no, if this was happening, or even Trump for that matter, if this was happening, that no one anywhere is blowing the whistle. Do you know what I mean? Like, that Putin isn't coming out and saying, oh, the West, you can't trust them. Sure, look at, they're spraying the population with chemicals. Do you know what I mean? Like... The level of complicity there has to be amongst all of the different factions right across the world to maintain this, that's the thing I can't get my head around, Keelan.
Yeah, well, it could be the level of secrecy between a private company and a massive conglomerate body, you know, with okay. Who made it.
But as you say, there's probably more questions than answers. Well, hopefully they give it a break for at least a month. I'd like a bit of good weather. Keelan, for now, thanks very much indeed. Take care of yourself. What do you think about that? 086 60 25,000. 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 0749 125,000. A lot of conversation about dogs and dog ownership. And at the event last night, I actually got chatting to a lovely lady who had some very interesting comments in relation to this. And lots of you messaged in. We just didn't get to them yesterday because it was so busy. I absolutely 100% agree with that lady about dogs. Not one breed is dangerous. It's the owners. They need to know how to handle them. And owners need to be properly trained as well as those dogs. Another Greg, a friend of mine, had two Rottweilers, both since passed away. But they were two big teddy bears. They were as gentle as any breed of dog out there because the owner trained them properly. Both were rescue dogs at that. I believe any dog is capable of biting if it is in the hands of the wrong person. The owner is key in the life of a dog. I can vouch for those two dogs, the owner, because they were trained properly. It's sad that good owners get punished for bad owners' issues. But good owners aren't getting punished. I hope we're not. I mean, the only punishment, if you could call it that, is the rules in terms of muzzling and a chain. So, but that, I think Kathleen sort of gave the impression yesterday that she's not in favour of that. But, like, why do we keep these big herding dogs here as pets? I mean, is that not unfair on them that they are bred? They probably wouldn't exist if it wasn't for our pleasure. So we have dogs, and it was pointed out yesterday, their natural habitat is not here. They can't engage in their natural activity. And we just have them because they make us feel good. Is that fair? But anyway, it's up to you out there. Greg, can you say to Joe that the key measure of the scheme is restoring the homes to mortgageable conditions? That's Joe McHugh yesterday. We were talking about that. Yes, indeed. Sorry, there's a couple of them here on different issues. I'm a dog owner. Dogs should be on a lead at all times. As a dog owner, I'm ashamed when walking when I see dog poo lying on the pavement or paths. Council, give poo bags free. Good strong ones. Fine dog owners, €1,000. That would put the poo up them. Okay, everyone's talking about poo today. Keelan said a swear word. But you see, people, there's kind of, we're funny human beings because what we've had in the past is people calling in where owners go to the bother of picking up their dog's poo and then chucking it into graveyards or leaving it on walls. Do you remember that image of the bin at one beach and there was like 15 bags of dog poo? So someone had gone to the bother of picking the poo up but just left it lying there and didn't take it home. Crazy stuff sometimes. All right, keep your calls and comments coming in on all of the issues. Raise your own 086 60 25,000. That is the WhatsApp and text. And you can call us to an 0749 125,000. Loads to come on the 9 till noon show. After we take a break,